Hello again, everybody. For the first time in 2017, it is great to say we welcome you to Marlins Park for day two of Marlins Fan Fest. This is a special edition of Marlins Hot Stove. Glenn Geffner alongside Kyle Seeloff. Kyle, this is a great weekend to kick off the baseball season in South Florida.
Well, football's over, right? Baseball is back. Pitchers and catchers report on Tuesday. The first full squad workout is next Friday. It's great to see the guys. It's always fun after a all-too-short offseason. But the gang is back together, the band is back together, and it's awesome to see some of the players and some of the newcomers as well that we've had a chance to meet the last 24 hours.
We'll see them on the field up in Jupiter beginning on Tuesday when pitchers and catchers work out for the first time. Full squad works out for the first time on Friday. We're with you today until 2 o'clock. We are going to be joined by guest after guest, big name after big name, and we get started with a bang right off the top here this afternoon. El Capitan is our first guest of the afternoon. Marlins third baseman Martin Prado joining us from the West Plaza here at Marlins Park Fan Fest. If you're coming out to the ballpark today, come by, say hello. Martin, it is great to see you. Welcome back. And, you know, there's been so much talk about the additions this team made in the offseason. To me, the biggest move was the first move when they announced a three-year contract extension for Martin Prado. You probably could have gotten more years somewhere else, maybe more money somewhere else. Why did you want to come back here? What made Miami the place you needed to be?
Well, first of all, I want to say hi to you guys. I'm so glad that I'm back and to see all the boys and all the people, fans, and everybody just uniting for one goal. And it's great, that bond. Fan, players, staff, everybody just be part of this good kind of good chemistry that we're creating as a group. And now that you mentioned my extension, one of the reasons was that I felt like last year we got a transition of guys just getting to know how to play the game right. At the end of the season, we got this tragedy that, you know, just it was a hard time for all of us. But at the same time, we created a bond as a group, and that's, I'm pretty sure that Jose, that's what he wanted us to be at this point. And I felt like I couldn't leave. I felt like you know, those guys inside the clubhouse, they're willing to win, and that's what I'm playing this sport for.
Martin, given the way the season ended and being that you brought it up, there was a lot of talk that the organization could have gone a lot of different ways, right? You know, the star player is gone. Could have broken the gang up, could have rebuilt, could have brought a bunch of young kids up. How important was it, and how good does it feel to know that the front office said, given the tragedy, we're not going to let a bunch of these guys go. We're bringing them back, and we want the same 20 to 25 guys in the clubhouse and an opportunity for you guys to come together again for another season?
The way I say it, there were so many guys that they reacted in the way that we never imagined. There were like so many guys that step up and acting in such a class. That I saw all this. I saw that in grief. I saw every single guy acting differently in a good way. And I was like, man, you know what? I think besides the tragedy, I think like guys are just getting to know each other, and they just, it's stink that we have to pass something like this to, you know, be at the point that we are right now. But I think guys are still like talking about Jose and how care they are about Jose and his family, and that for me is more important than just going like three more years somewhere and just get more money somewhere.
You hear the term family thrown around a lot in sports. We're a family. We travel together. We're together all the time. But in talking to several players yesterday, they kept going back to that word family, and it feels different. This group of guys, the bond you now have, what you were through on the field last year together, what you went through off the field at the end of the year, this really feels like an incredibly tight-knit group. You're one of the veterans on this team. You've been around a lot of clubhouses. Have you been around a team where the bond is as tight as it seems to be right here, right now?
No, not that I think of. Even when I played with the Braves, we got a pretty good bond there. But here is more, yeah, I feel it's more deep. It's more, we got more than just teammates. We're brothers, and we care. We talk in off season. Hey, we just care about what's the next guy doing. Are you preparing yourself for the season? Because this is a teamwork, and that's a team for me. The young guys 20 years, 21 years old, they're realizing that they need to be part of the family just to be able to get through 162 games, go in the playoff, and go all the way through. So it takes more than just, you know, prepare yourself, like physically. It takes just mentally, just get ready for a long season, just be willing to be open to help the other guy to get better. So I think those guys, they got that sense right now, so we're in a good track, in a good position to win.
For a lot of years, we heard a lot of the young guys coming up that it's still a young team. But everybody's got another year under their belt, Martin. It's a terrific group of veterans and a little bit of mix of everybody. A lot of you are back. With that being said, I know it's, what, February 12th, and it's always a silly question to ask. But as a veteran of this game and being in the clubhouses that you've been in, how ready is this team to win now?
Oh, they so ready to win. Just the fact they got a group on like they, you know, they got a group, and they included me in that group. So during the off season, they always like sending pictures. Hey, look at what I'm doing. Oh, look at what this guy is doing. So, you know, sometimes just kind of like you read everything they said. I was like, man, this guy, they're so ready to play the game. I'm not even close to play a game right now. So they're ready. They're ready. They not thinking I'm 22. I'm 21. No, now they're thinking we got to go after. So that's important.
How big a difference does it make that these guys now have been through what they were through last year on the field? Where at the end of July, this was a playoff team. This team was in a playoff spot, and right down to the final week of the season, mathematically had a chance to get to the playoffs. So you've been through a pennant race now. You've seen the magnitude of all 162. You've realized that those heartbreaking losses in April are going to really cost you in September, October. How much did last year's experience help this team in trying to take that next step, you think?
I think Donnie is the main guy. He's the guy just keep everybody, you know, and on their toes. You know, like if he sees that we lose a couple games, he just makes sure like, hey boys, these games, they're important. At the end of the season, we gotta need this, you know, this win. So he's in the top of that subject where like he don't let anybody just, you know, after three or four games losing, he's in the top of that subject.
What was the most, if you had to describe Donnie in one word last year, and obviously we chatted with him yesterday, and he said, I'll feel more comfortable going into my second spring, and the guys know what to expect out of me. They know what to expect out of themselves. What would be the one thing you would say Donnie really brought to this team? Would it be a sense of calm and just to stay composed? It's a long season. It's 6 months of baseball.
I think we all trust him. I think trust is the main word for him, because he's been in that spot. He's been in a different spot where, like, in a difficult market with the Dodgers. So he feels like he got the same pressure, but he's more relaxed. You know, he's more him. There's a lot of decisions that come from him. So being said is that he communicate. He tell the boys. He tell the players. He just give confidence to the players. Do you need a day off today? Are you okay? Do you feel good? So things like that that make the player just, you know, feels good. And, oh, this guy trusts me. So the least I can do is just go up there and perform.
We're talking with Martin Prado at Marlins Fan Fest here at Marlins Park. I asked Don Mattingly yesterday. I said, you know, you'd watched this team from the other side of the field for several years when he was managing the Dodgers. Was there one player on this team last year who, being around him every single day, you said, boy, I didn't realize he was as good as he is. I didn't realize he approaches the game the way he does. He prepares the way he does. He's as good as he is in the clubhouse. He said, Martin Prado. He said, I knew he could play the game. I've watched him for years. I know he's a good player. But until I was around Martin Prado every day and watched how he conducts himself in that clubhouse, on the field, off the field, the way other players gravitate toward him, the example he sets for everybody else. I didn't realize what a big piece of the puzzle Martin Prado is. That has to feel pretty good to hear from your manager.
Yeah, just coming from that guy that played the game right for so many years and be that good, it's accomplished for me because this is what I work for. This is what I play the game because I want to walk away from the game and knowing that people respect me just the fact that just came to the field to play the game. Right? Not like just one day at a time. You know, I take it one day at a time, but I make sure that day I do everything I can to go home and say, I did everything I could to be good and to be one of the best.
Martin, we haven't been able to chat about him too much this offseason, but a very quiet move that was made, and a guy that you're familiar with and Marlins fans are familiar with is Freddy Gonzalez. He's back coaching third for the Marlins, and you were with Freddie in Atlanta 2011, 2012. That's got to be pretty exciting to have Freddie back, not only for you personally. We know he's one of the best guys in the game, and he's coming back to Miami.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad because he saw me just coming up. He saw me like, you know, he knew everything I did in the minor leagues. He was one of the guys that always, like, tried to help me out to settle in the big league. So, It's you know, I saw him from the other side. I played. He was my manager for 2 years, and I'm glad that I got to spend more time with him.
You look at this ball club. Kyle mentioned a change in the coaching staff. Among the position players, everybody's back with the exception of A.J. Ellis now in for Jeff Mathis. A lot of changes in the pitching staff, though. Some new members of the rotation, some new members at the back end of the bullpen. You faced a lot of these guys over the years. Brad Ziegler, a little bit against Junichi Tozawa. Jeff Locke, who we've seen pitch very well against the Marlins in the past, Dan Straley, Edinson Volquez. Anything in particular you can tell us about a couple of those guys having played against them for a long time, guys that the Marlins can really count on the mound here in 2017?
Oh, I hate it. I hated to face Volquez.
Really?
Oh, my God. No. I didn't want any part of that guy. You know, devastating changer. This two-seamer is just a heavy ball. I was like, every time I face him here in Miami, I was like, I don't want to face that guy here. So he's pretty good. The older guys, you know, I didn't face him too much. But
did you see Ziegler at all, Martin? And obviously,
I played with him in Arizona, and I faced him a couple times too.
It's a different look.
That's not easy.
Yes, he's coming. He's coming right at you like Zion arm. So it's a difficult at bat against righty.
You know, there's a lot of questions about the starting staff, Martin, and obviously, I guess rightfully so, and people have the right to question, you know, how's this staff going to perform? But when you look at the staff and you see a guy like Volquez and Kohler and Conley and so on and so forth, it's a lot of guys, as many question marks as there is, I see a ton of guys that are going to eat up innings. What do you make of the staff and, you know, some of the moves that have made this offseason?
Well, you know, just that I was in the clubhouse and I saw all the guys, the new guys, and the guys that we already have, and I was like, you know what? I feel confident enough that we got depth, pitching-wise. You know, like, and I'm so glad that we brought everybody. You know, because everybody just is so unite that the outfielders, they're willing to win. You got Ichiro backing up. You don't go wrong with that guy, and then you got infielders that you can count on, Miguel Rojas, you got Dietrich, you got those guys that just, they come to the field every day and work, you know. So when you got those guys pitching, all the pitchers, they feel more comfortable. Like, hey, you know what, my defense is good. So I just kind of, you know, the only thing they have to worry about is just make a good pitch, you know. So when you got relating like that, it's like a circle. Like, I trust my defense, I trust my pitching. And we can score runs. So we're going to be in a pretty good spot.
He doesn't have a C on his jersey, but he could. They call him El Capitan Martin Prado. We're at Marlins Fan Fest here at Marlins Park out on the West Plaza. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, though, a few more minutes with Martin. We've got Don Mattingly coming up. We've got Giancarlo Stanton. We've got A.J. Ramos. We've got Christian Yelich between now and 2 o'clock. So stay with us. A lot more with Martin. A lot more Marlins talk between now and 2 on your home for Marlins baseball, 940 Wins.
Sticking to New Year's resolutions is tough, but iHeartRadio can help.
Okay, Google, open iHeartRadio.
radio stations, and playlists perfect for working out.
This is Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones.
This is Bruce Springsteen.
Free radio and music on demand all in one app. Play any song. Get unlimited skips. Even take your music offline and listen data free. Let iHeartRadio help you succeed in 2017. See what everyone's talking about at iHeartRadio.com or just download the free iHeartRadio app now.
There's a problem if you drink and drive a boat. It never just affects you. Boating under the influence is illegal and dangerous. Save lives by staying sober. Learn more about Florida's boating laws at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the FWC Division of Law Enforcement.
Attention, all you fitness enthusiasts. iHeartRadio and 24-Hour Fitness have teamed up to create the all-new Perfect Workout Station, 24-Hour Cardio Mix. Tune in using the My24 app from 24-Hour Fitness to keep this and more irresistible beats at your fingertips. Plus, find clubs, join challenges, track workouts, and share instantly with friends. Amplify your energy and pump up your workouts. Download the My24 app from the App Store or Google Play today.
This week on the Lutheran Hour, Pastor Gregory Seltz says we are called to love others as we have been loved by God, and that includes friends, family, acquaintances, strangers, even enemies. He'll also discuss the right way to read the Bible and the key to understanding its message. Join Pastor Seltz this week on the Lutheran Hour.
Sunday at 8 a.m. here on 940 Winds.
From the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer Weather Center.
Kind of cloudy today with highs of 81. Tonight, lows drop to 65, so grab your sweater. I'm Carolina Calix, and that's your South Florida forecast.
This report is brought to you by Mattress Firm. Hurry into Mattress Firm's President's Day sale. Save up to $500 store-wide. Get queen sets for as low as $179.99 and receive up to $300 in Mattress Firm bonus cash with select mattress set purchases. Only at Mattress Firm.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, using artificial intelligence to make a perfect meal.
This is the June Intelligent Oven.
Yes, even home appliances are becoming smart, and the oven is among them. Two former Apple engineers quit their jobs to create the June Oven. It's a tabletop oven they say can cook the perfect meal. It uses cameras and sensors inside to identify what you're cooking. Matt Van Horn is co-founder of June Life, using steak as an example of what you might be cooking.
On the touchscreen, we say, I know it's a steak. How would you like it cooked?
Now, you say, I don't know, June. I feel like medium well, and she does the rest. You do have to put a probe in the steak or chicken or whatever you're cooking, but then the promise is it will come out exactly how you want it.
The oven gets better over time instead of worse because we have regular software over-the-air updates, so we'll start being able to recognize more and more foods and be able to learn from all of our customers that share their photos with us.
The cost is about $1,500. The June oven started shipping on Christmas Eve of 2016. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
The Marlins, Gators, and me, Dan Patrick, 10 till noon on 940 Winds, Miami Sports.
Back with you from the West Plaza of Marlins Park. A lot of fans out here. Day two of Marlins Fan Fest. We get set for the start of spring training and the beginning of the 2017 season for the Marlins. Your 25th season here in Miami. A big year for a lot of reasons. You've got the World Baseball Classic coming to Marlins Park March 9th through the 13th. And as we talk with Martin Prado, the Marlins third baseman, Martin, you will not be here at Marlins Park for the WBC, but you're playing for Team Venezuela out in Jalisco, Mexico, in that pool. Tell us about the honor of being asked to play for your country, what that means to you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, the first call that I got, a guy just told me, hey, Martin, we're thinking that you can be part of the team, and I was like, hey, just give me a call, and just thinking about me to play with Venezuela, that, because they got a roster of 95 players to make 28. So just thinking of 95 guys, they can be able to play in that World Classic and be part of those 28 is a big deal for a player. So I'm pretty happy and really blessed that I can play for my country.
Omar Vizquel, the great shortstop, is managing that team. Just a few of the names we'll be playing with: Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez, Jose Altuve, Carlos Gonzalez, Odubel Herrera, Endrin Ciarte, Salvador Perez. You got King Felix on the mound. You got Francisco Rodriguez maybe closing games out. That's a pretty good roster.
Oh, man. And, you know, we work out for a week. We were down in FIU. We were there for a week, and I saw all those big guys, and we just unite, you know, and working out together. And it was so fun because I played with Miguel since we were five. So so just to play with him somewhere, like either because we play winter ball too together, same team. But playing for Venezuela, he is so excited. He's like a little kid. Like, I can't believe I'm playing for Venezuela. I was like, man, you've been playing for every single Venezuelan world classes. So he is still exciting. So if that kind of type of player, he gets excited, and I'm more excited than him. So it's a good feeling, and I'm just hoping that I can just be and stay healthy to play for my team.
Whether people realize it or not, you guys don't just show up and go catch a few ground balls and fly balls. You don't just go lace them up. How is your off-season preparations different in order to prepare for this? Because you guys go at it. You guys go to win it all.
Yeah, you know, like personally, I like to in a regular, like in a normal year, so for spin training. But mid-January, I'm start doing like game speed stuff. So hitting, taking ground balls, running the bases, so more baseball stuff and trying like gain speed. But you know, if you go into a work classes, you're gonna just go quicker. You might just start doing it like at the beginning of January, because you know by the time February comes, you have to be ready to go. You have to be ready to go because it's a short period of time that you probably play three games. Mm-hmm. So three games you. It's not like, oh, you're going to, you know, get your timing and everything. You got to, from the get-go, you're just going to go. So that's one of the things that Biscale, he called, you know, every single individual that they were supposed to play for the team. And hey, this is the way we're going to do it. And this is the way we're going to prepare. And we're going to work out as a team for a week. And then we're going to unite again. But this is the mindset that we have to have. So... being said, he basically told us that, hey, man, you know what? Japan team, they've been playing together for 2 years already. The Cuban team, they've been playing together for 2 years already. So it's difficult when you got guys just in separate ways, just putting back together, you know, and play against Japan and guys that just, they already had that bond. So I think it was a pretty good idea for Biscale just to get in the mind of everybody and trying to get that mindset.
You've given us a lot to double back to. I want to ask you, you mentioned you've been playing with Miguel Cabrera since you guys were 5 years old. Yeah. Where did you guys play together? What kind of team were you guys on? And what was a five-year-old Miguel Cabrera doing on the baseball field?
Okay, well, I just explain you like a short. Miguel was better than anybody since he was five.
Nothing changed.
Yeah, nothing changed. but he was a pitcher. You know, he was our main pitcher. But he threw so hard, like they didn't allow him to pitch in that league because then it was unfair, you know. And then his dad was a manager, so I played short. He played short. I never played short because he was playing short because his dad was a manager and he was good, you know. So, but he always been a guy that enjoyed the game, always smiling, always playing around with kids, always playing around with people. And basically, that's probably why he's so good, because he doesn't think, oh, I have to be good, I have to do this, I have to do that. He just go with the flow and play the game with fun.
One of the things we've heard about the World Baseball Classic the last several times they played it, Team USA has not fared very well. And fans talk about the fact that it just doesn't mean the same thing for the American players to put the USA across the front of their chest as it means for the Venezuelans, for the Dominican players, for the Cuban players, for the Japanese players. Can you speak to that a little bit, what it means to represent your country in an event like that, a worldwide event?
Well, I got to mention something about that. I've been talking to guys that represent. I played with Blomqvist, and he played for USA team. And I never seen somebody that proud than Blomqvist. You know, I think like, for me, thinking of USA is like a majority of players, USA team, they're like main guys for teams in the big leagues. Guys that got big contracts. And they want to play with the team. They want to play for USA. But teams, they don't want those guys to, you know, and that just take that risk. because they're so important for teams. You know, it's not. I'm not saying that we're not important for our team.
Yeah, but we need you.
Yeah,
yes. We need you healthy and productive.
Yes, but I mean, there's so many. But USA team, they got so many guys.
Right.
They got so many guys. They got so many options. Venezuela, we got a roster 95 guys, 85 guys. But if you think of USA, might have 400 guys. You know what I'm saying? And they got more room to make a team. So for us, it's okay. We got 95, but we know like we got a 95. The guys that play in the big leagues and they just won in there and we because we play winter ball,
right.
And we know how excited people get in Venezuela when that's the only sport that we play in Venezuela.
We saw the passion here at Marlins Park 4 years ago. There were more Venezuelan fans than American fans and Dominican fans. It was unbelievable.
Yes. So that's the only sport we have. So here you got football, American football. You got basketball. So you got more sports that, you know. So for us, it's really a pride sport. So that's what the people take it really seriously.
You touched on it a little bit, Martin. Was it an easy yes for you? Because there are guys that think to themselves, I don't want to get hurt. I have a dedication to my major league ball club. Was it an easy yes for you, or was it something you had to think about a little bit?
You know, I talked to Mike a little bit on my hill, and I explained it like how, you know, hey, I want you to play, but I want you to be conscious about
sure. We
need you healthy, and you're like, you know, you're a really important part of our team. So, and I told him, hey, let me tell you this. I'm preparing myself consciously so well to be able to be stable, but play for 10 games, you know, like, you know, smart enough to, you know, play hard, but knowing that I have to be good for the team. You know, the injuries are going to happen anyways. Like either like playing a spin training game.
Or in the backfield.
Anywhere,
right.
Backfield, like
right.
just any time. So I don't want to think about that. I just want to think, just to have fun with my team, just represent my country. And that's a one-time experience, a life experience. So I want to be able to experience that with my team.
You're a veteran player. You know yourself. You know your body. You know your preparation.
Yep.
You know what you need to do.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
You've got in Pool D in Jalisco, Mexico, you've got Italy, Mexico, the home team, Venezuela, and Puerto Rico. You look at that Puerto Rican team, Carlos Beltran, Yadi Molina, Francisco Lindor, Javi Baez, Edwin Diaz, the great Mariners closer. It's going to be some fun baseball.
Yes, yeah, they had a really good team. And don't forget about, I want you to understand this. Like, I got three friends that are going to play for Italy, and they play in the big leagues.
Right.
You know, so it's not going to be an easy opponent there. So we just kind of like, the mindset is we're going to go game by game and knowing that, nobody is going to be easy to win. So
it's going to be a fun event. The World Baseball Classic, again, coming to Marlins Park March 9th through the 13th. Team USA is going to be here along with the Dominican Republic, the Colombians, and the Canadians. Tickets on sale now. Single game tickets available for the World Baseball Classic games in Miami. You can go to worldbaseballclassic.com. You can get them here at the ballpark. You can also get the strips of tickets. If you want to see all the Team USA games, you can get those tickets. If you want to see all the Dominican games, whichever team you choose. And from what I understand, sales are way up above where they've ever been before for games played here in Miami. So that'll be a lot of fun. Martin, best of luck in the WBC. We'll see you in Jupiter between now and then. But we appreciate your time today. And, again, for all you mean to this ball club and to get this team over the hump, back to October, where Marlins fans want to see it. You're such a big part of that. And we're thrilled for the new contract and happy to get the season started soon.
Thank you, guy. Thank you for having me.
Hey, last one for you. Were you part of the fantasy football team that Miguel Rojas
yes.
won?
Because yes, we won.
They say he hasn't stopped.
Yes. He talked too much. You know, I celebrated, you know, a little bit. You know, we didn't do anything. Dusty, he did it, all the study and stuff. He
Dustin
always
Luke
called me like, hey, we're going to trade this guy. No, don't trade that guy. And he told me, like, you don't know anything. Okay, just trade him.
Good
so,
to see you, Martin.
Yeah, good to
hey,
see
well,
you.
What do you think? He asked a Rojas question. What do you think about Rojas' new hairdo? He's gone blonde here in 2017.
Yeah, I don't know. I got no comments on that.
No comment on that. Martin, thank you. Great all stuff, right. as
Thank
always.
You guys.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Good to see you,
Thank
Martin.
You.
We'll see you at the golf tournament tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll see you up in Jupiter next week. Okay. That is Martin Prado joining us here on the West Plaza, Marlins Fan Fest Day 2. First time ever we've done this over the course of a couple of days. And Kyle, yesterday, great crowd. Today, great crowd. A lot of folks gathering around our broadcast location here. Had a great event with the full season and half season ticket holders earlier this morning. A Q&A session with Michael Hill, David Sampson, and Don Mattingly. You've got autographs. You've got pictures. You've got season tickets on sale. You've got single game tickets on sale for the first time. This is a fun couple of days to ring in the new baseball season.
It is. It's fun that it's 2 days now, and it's important. There's been a lot of questions, just to hit on it real quick. A lot of folks interested in attending the All-Star game. The only way to do that is to purchase some variety of a season ticket plan. There are a ton of Marlins representatives on the concourse level. Again, it's a huge year for Miami. If you purchase season tickets, to my understanding, you have access to some World Baseball Classic stuff. So just a note for any of you that may want to attend the All-Star game, you know, priority, you got to be a Marlins season and ticket holder in some capacity, but it's great. It's fun. Baseball is back. Football is now in the rear view. Pitchers and catchers report on Tuesday. I know a lot of fans wonder. We'll be back on the air on February 26th.
2 weeks from today.
First full squad workout is on Friday. A lot of fans. Jupiter's an awesome facility. Come hang out with us. You know, it's one of the really cool experiences in spring training baseball. You can stand 5 feet from the guys and watch Perry Hill. And
for those who like to get autographs, take pictures, today's the best day to do here at the ballpark. But at spring training, generally things are so relaxed. You can get up close. It's a great time for that. Kyle mentioned our first radio broadcast will be 2 weeks from today, February 26th, the Marlins-Cardinals game. Dave and I will have 15 games for you on our flagship station, 940 Wins this spring. And, Kyle, you've got 10 again this year on MLB.com as well.
For the first time in a long time, or maybe even ever, I believe there's 35 spring training games. In some capacity, we're going to have 25 on the radio. And I believe, taking a look at the broadcasting schedule for spring, for folks that may be wondering at home, I believe 90% of the Marlins games in some capacity can be heard on TV or watched heard on radio and watched on TV. So that's really cool, and people are going to get their fair share of Marlins baseball this spring.
Yeah, and, of course, you can catch the Marlins again all season long here on 940 Wins, our flagship station, network affiliates across the state. You can get us on SiriusXM Satellite Radio. You can get us through MLB.com, the At-Bat app. A lot of ways to listen, as this ought to be a fun year. Kyle, we've talked about the WBC coming to Marlins Park. We've talked about the All-Star game coming to Marlins Park. It'd be fun to talk about the playoffs coming to Marlins Park, which it's been a while for Miami. You talk to these players, there's a lot of optimism that maybe this is the year this team can get over that hump, especially based on the experiences of last year and how close the Marlins came a season ago. Now you see it's not that far off.
Yeah, you know, obviously the big question this winter was, what do you do with the starting rotation? And Michael Hill and the front office have assembled a group of veteran guys that they believe can log innings and put this ball club in a position to win on every given night. There's been a lot of talk about the Super Bullpen. I would say one thing fans should understand is that they're not just going to ask the starting rotation just to go 4 1/3 every night. And you know,
you can't survive like that over the long season.
And there are going to be 8 to 10 game stretches where the starting rotation in 8 of those 10 games gives you 6 1/3 innings. There's also going to be nights where you got to find 7 1/3 innings out of your bullpen. It happens. It's baseball, but I think they've done a really nice job. They've done a wonderful job with a bullpen. You arguably have 3 closers. Anybody can close on any given night. And you got a guy like, Glenn, you mentioned it, Edinson Volquez. He's going to log innings. You know what Tom Kohler is going to give you. He's going to give you 30 starts, near 200 innings, and he's going to go 6 innings every time. You hope Wei-Yin Chen in the elbow, he comes back healthy, because he was supposed to be a really big piece last year, and obviously he fell a little bit with that left elbow. Adam Conley, who might be the best of them all. He was wonderful last year. And
Dan Straley won 16 games in Cincinnati last year.
That could be your 5 guys, but keep in mind, too, you know, Jeff Locke potentially in that mix, whether he's in the bullpen or the rotation, Ziegler, Tozawa. Lots to look forward to in one area that I don't think you can argue. 1 through 8, if they're healthy on any given night, whether it's the outfield, the infield, they can stack up offensively with anybody in baseball.
So it's going to be fun to watch, and we'll begin to see what it all looks like on the fields up in Jupiter on Tuesday. We are broadcasting live from Marlins Fan Fest out on the West Plaza here at Marlins Park. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got many more guests to get to, a lot more Marlins baseball talk. We're glad you're with us. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. This is a special edition of Marlins Hot Stove from Marlins Fan Fest on 940 Wins.
Miami Sports Radio, play-by-play.
Echeverria in the air to right field and deep. Back goes Delman Young at the wall. Goodbye! It's a grand slam.
940 Wins.
Shocked by your wireless bill every month? Additional fees? Tacked on taxes? Come on. You end up paying hundreds more a year than the price you expected. Introducing T-Mobile One. Now with taxes and fees included. Get four lines for just $40 each per month with AutoPay. All unlimited, all in. That's right, four lines for just $40 each, now with taxes and fees included. You'll save hundreds a year versus the other guys. Want phones with that? Now for a limited time, save more than you pay in taxes on all smartphones. So with taxes and fees included with T-Mobile One and smartphone savings, it's better than a tax holiday, and it's only at T-Mobile. Don't wait. Hurry to a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE to switch today.
Top 3% of data users greater than 28 gigabytes per month may notice reduced speeds. Sales tax and regulatory fees included. 11.2% back via prepaid MasterCard card when you finance a smartphone. Annual savings versus AT&T and Verizon plans may vary.
America, it's time for some straight talk. Coffee should taste like coffee. Grown men should not wear skinny jeans. And you are paying way too much for wireless. You just are. With the Straight Talk Wireless Bring Your Own Phone plan, you can keep your phone, your number, and your network for half of what you're paying now with no contracts, no credit checks, no mystery fees. It's crazy, but it's true. Come on. It's time to pick up an activation kit and drop the contract. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? It's time for Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
It's the largest Chicken Wings Festival in South Florida. The third annual Alligator Ron's Wings Fest. And your bar or restaurant can be a sponsor. Call 954-862-3368 or email us at wingsfest@iheartmedia.com.
From ABC News Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone. Tired of your young kids sitting, watching TV, or playing video games? There's a way to get them active. It looks a bit like an exercise bike for young children, and that's basically what it is, a stationary big wheel. It's a product by Fisher-Price. Tony Favorito is director of design.
This is Smart Cycle. And Smart Cycle is a bike for children 3 to 5 years old. Okay, so this is all about active mind, active body.
There's a tablet holder on Smart Cycle, not so your kids can sit and watch TV while they work out. Smart Cycle can be hooked up to either a tablet or a TV so children can play games. Those games involve adventures that must be done on the bike.
By using the steering wheel, by using the pedals, by using the joystick, they're navigating their way through their tablet-based apps. Or with an Apple TV or Kindle.
It's a high-tech relaunch of a product from 10 years ago by Fisher-Price. The cost is $150. With Tech Trends, I'm Alex Stone, ABC News.
I'm Justin Bohr, on your home for Marlins baseball. 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Welcome back. It's a special edition of the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Day 2, the Marlins 2017 Fan Fest presented by Papa John's. Here at Marlins Park, a terrific 30, 35 minutes to open things up with Martin Prado, the captain of this ball club. Talked about a lot of different things, and Martin back with the ball club, and he's happy to be back, and we're certainly happy to see him as he's one of the leaders of this team. It'll be great to have him back inside the clubhouse this season. Don't forget, we're here till 4 o'clock today. If you're driving around in your car looking for something to do or you're joining us locally in South Florida, come hang out. We're here until 4 o'clock today.
We're only talking till 2 o'clock on the radio.
Only talking till 2.
But the event goes till 4.
Pitchers and catchers report on Tuesday. Terrific day, as Glenn mentioned, to get your autographs and hang out with some of the guys. You can do that at spring training as well. Full squad workout next Friday in Jupiter. Our first broadcast is the 26th. So not too far from now when the grind will begin. 162 games in, 176 days. But a lot to look forward to this season. And there's been a lot of talk this offseason. And, Glenn, we haven't really had a chance to chat with you and
you hang out with the family and you had a terrific offseason. I'll put it on a tee for you. Feel free to go wherever you want here. But what do you make of what the Marlins have done this offseason, whether it's offensively, defensively, or the pitching staff?
Well, the couple of things I really like are this. They're committed to this core group of position players. You go around the horn, the batting order 1-8, assuming everybody is healthy, you'll have the exact same starting lineup on opening day this year, 1-8, that you had on opening day last year. That's never happened before in Marlins history. It doesn't happen very often in baseball. Now, this team was 27th out of 30 in runs scored last year, but the hope is a healthy Giancarlo Stanton makes a big difference. D. Gordon playing 155 games rather than the 79 he played last year makes a difference. The hope is that Justin Bour can show that he can hit lefty pitching this year. Looks like he's going to get the chance to do that. You know, the hope is Adania Echevarria improves on a down year for him last year. We had seen Echevarria get better at the plate every year until last year. He took a big step back. But if Yelich can continue on the arc his career is going on, boy, Martin Prado, if he can give you the kind of year he had last year, if Marcell Ozuna can have a full season like his first half last year, this potentially could be a very good team offensively. And then what the Marlins did in losing Jose, look, unless Clayton Kershaw's walking through the door, you're not going to replace Jose Fernandez.
Yeah.
They knew they couldn't do that. But you look at your strengths, the bullpen was a strength for this team. You look at the market, who was out there to bring in this winter, they saw the opportunity to build that super bullpen that you've referenced, and they have. You know, a lot of teams, and even the Marlins last year, I think you point to, they have almost two different bullpens. If you're leading late in the game, you see X, Y, and Z in 7, 8, 9. If you're losing at the end of the game, you know you're going to see X, Y, and Z in 7, 8, 9. Right now, the Marlins have six or seven pitchers who could all be those guys you see 7, 8, 9 if you have the lead. And we've talked about A.J. Ramos the year he had as the Marlins closer last year. David Phelps, the production the Marlins got out of him in whatever role they've put him in, but now they're committed to him in the bullpen, wanting to keep him healthy and productive for the full year. Kyle Bearclaw is a closer in the making, no question about that. You add Brad Ziegler and that very unusual submarine delivery to the mix. He only throws about 80 miles per hour, but nobody can hit this guy. You add Junichi Tozawa, who, like Ziegler, is close at times in the big leagues. Don't forget about the year Dustin McGowan had very quietly.
Back.
Yeah, he's back. And he was one of those guys who, if you were down 5-1 in the sixth inning, you'd see McGowan pitch last year. But the way he pitched, this is a guy you would entrust later innings to with a lead. So top to bottom, this is going to be a very strong bullpen. And now the question becomes, you've referenced the rotation. How good will the rotation be? And that's really, to me, the part of this ball club that can ultimately determine, is it going to be a 79-win team again as it was last year, or could this team get up to 89 wins, 90 wins? You need some people to step up. You need Wei Yin Chen to be the Wei Yin Chen he had been throughout his career in Baltimore, but he wasn't last year. And for Chen, you think about changing leagues. You think about, remember, he got hit on the elbow on opening night. He got hit by a comebacker against the Tigers, and he missed a start after that, and he just was never right. Spent some time on the disabled list later in the year. Can Straley replicate the year he had in Cincinnati last year?
He was very good for a poor team.
And think about the ballpark he pitched in Cincinnati, a launching pad.
Yeah.
Now he comes to a much more pitcher-friendly ballpark here in Miami. So Dan Straley could be a great pickup for this team. Tom Kohler, he had stretches where he pitched very well last year. Can he sustain it for longer stretches? You know that he's going to be out there for 30-plus starts because he is every single year. Can we get the Edinson Volquez of 2014-2015 in Pittsburgh and Kansas City more than the guy who had a down year for him last year? So to me, that rotation is going to define how far this team can go this season. And again, we talk about those names, and you mentioned you know, maybe Jeff Locke is a sixth guy. Remember, the Marlins used 13 different starting pitchers last year. They used 13 different starting pitchers the year before. So we'll talk a lot this spring about who the fifth starter is going to be. But number six matters. Number seven matters. Number eight matters. Number nine matters a lot. And it feels as though there may be a little bit more depth with Justin Nicolino probably waiting in the wings, with Jose Urania potentially waiting in the wings. You know, Jeff Locke, who was an all-star at one time as a Pittsburgh Pirate, might start the year in the bullpen as a long man. We'll see. Signed to a one-year deal this winter. So there's some depth. There are some options. But every team this time of year says, you know, the key for us is to stay healthy.
Right.
We got to be healthy in spring training. There may not be a team in baseball where that is more important than this ball club. You got to keep those eight core position players healthy and on the field.
You know what's interesting, though? I was chatting with Todd Hollinsworth yesterday, and he said every team goes through injuries, right? It's unavoidable. They're going to happen. But the biggest thing for the Marlins you got to avoid the 60-day stints.
Right.
You can recover from the 15-day disabled list stints, and you can bring guys in from New Orleans. You can bring a guy in from Jacksonville.
To get you through a couple of weeks.
Yes. But he said the biggest thing is Giancarlo going to miss 15 days? Maybe. Can you afford to miss him for 2 months?
No.
You can't.
No.
And that's the position the Marlins are in. And whomever they bring up from New Orleans, whoever they bring up from Jacksonville, somebody might be able to fill that void. You can't expect them to be in the starting lineup for 30 to 40 games or whatever the case may be.
Well, the man who pulls all those strings and makes the important decisions on a day-to-day basis is the Marlins manager, Don Mattingly. And Don's going to be joining us here in just a second. He did a remarkable job, I thought, Kyle, in year one last year, really changing the culture in that clubhouse, creating a winning mentality, and deserves a lot of credit for the job he did. I said at the end of July into August, September, when this team was right there, for me, he deserves serious consideration to be the National League's Manager of the Year. He's back for year two. Donnie, welcome. Good to see you again.
How you doing?
Hey,
that sounded good.
Well, yeah.
Well,
we were talking about somebody else. We're talking about Dusty Baker and the job he did. You did a heck of a job here last year. This is year two, and I'm going to start today where I started with you in a conversation we had yesterday. The difference for you in the second year, you know the personnel, you know where the manager's office is. It's not any easier in the second year, but how does your approach change for year two?
Well, I think the main thing you said there, we know the personnel better. For myself and Tim Wallach coming in, Lorenzo Bundy, there were some guys that were already here that knew these guys. But for us to really know our guys, it's really important that you start to understand how to use them, when they need a day off. You start to see how they get tired, what happens. And there's just some little things that you see that you know you can be better, putting them in better position.
Donnie, given the way the year ended, how important was it to you and how much input did you have this winter to tell Michael Hill in the front office to say, listen, it was a bad loss, but we can still win. We can still do this. Keep these guys together because I believe in them and the way things ended and the way these guys grew together and became a family in the hardest of times. How important was that to you to see many of these guys back?
Well, it's good to see these guys back. I think the Marlins in general have had a lot of turnover in my seat and turnover with players. But this is, a young core, a good core group of position players that we felt like had a chance to win and that are growing in the right direction. These guys get along. It was never a matter, I think, you know, everything that happened with Jose obviously put you in a tough spot and everybody just kind of binds together during that time. But they already were a group that got along. And I think we just have to get better. And you want the progression of a young player to grow experience-wise, to grow in what he needs to do to be a better player and be able to use the experience that he's gained for us to be a better team collectively. And that's really what we're counting on.
Playing 160-ish games that really mattered last year for the first time for this team, in the hunt right to the very end. How does that help a ball club grow moving into this year and trying to get over that hump finally?
Well, it's something that you've been there. You know, you've played those games that mean something. I remember talking to AJ in the outfield, and he's like, man, Skip, this is great. You know, we're in these games, and it's so much fun to come to the ballpark. And it was like June. And I'm like, AJ, man, we're just getting started. This thing hadn't even got started yet. You don't understand the length and what can happen. And when you start playing those games that you feel like are important and every game becomes important, you lose a game and it all of a sudden it kicks you back to five back or something or four back in the wild card. And you feel like it's monumental. And you give up three games after that. If you would have won two out of three, you would have picked two games back up. You start to understand that things change so fast. Those other teams are having trouble winning. If you're chasing, those teams have trouble winning games too. So if you can put a little four or five game streak together, you change what the thing looks like. And I think once you get through it one time, you realize you can't hit the panic button, you know, with 40 games left or 35 games left. Things can still change quickly.
Donnie, you said being there, and it's something throughout the course of your career as a manager or a player, you've been there and you know what it takes to win a world championship team. And watching the Cubs from afar last year, it looked like a group of guys that outside the chalk lines had loved each other. They had fun. Do you see similar characteristics in this ball club and obviously some of the teams that you've been a part of in your day? And how far beyond those lines does it go, and how much does it take to collectively pull on one rope to get it done?
It's important because I think today's game, with everything that happens, really, guys, you get it's a tendency to be about you, right? You have that tendency of social media. You're building your brand. You're doing all this stuff. And you get away from just being a team. And I think that's where Joe Maddon does a great job of, you know, he kind of, if you watch him, they act like he's a mad scientist, right? And he'll do some things on the field that are different. His guys have fun. They do a lot of extra stuff. But they're pretty fundamentally sound. Joe kind of tricks you into thinking that they're this whole new wave thing. Joe's new wave off the field, but on the field he plays solid baseball. And that's one thing you know. They had a great mixture, I thought, of young guys and veterans that have been there. And I think that's really important. If you get too many young guys, then they're all in the same boat. They really haven't been there. They're all trying to figure it out together. If you have a mixture of older guys, you've seen it in their backup catcher. You see it with Lackey. The guys they brought in, Lester, these guys have been there. And they're the ones that are able to say, hey, we're okay, man. We lost a couple games. Just get ready to play tomorrow, right? And so the coaching staff isn't the one always doing that. You got to have some guys that have been through that battle that can help these young guys. And actually, you got to have good veterans because some guys don't really want to help the young guys. I feel like Michael Hill did a great job this year. The guys that we brought in, all older guys that have – not all older, I shouldn't say, but guys that have been there that are leaders amongst their group. You know, A.J. Ellis is a guy that cares more as much about his teammates as he does about himself. Edinson Volquez is another guy that is a good teammate. The guys played in championship games, Jeff Locke, Dan Straley coming in, Ziegler, Tozawa. These guys have got great reputations. We did work on finding out, making sure we were bringing people in that were good character. We want to build a club that's here every year. And that means we play the game right, we prepare. There's lots of things you can do to be better.
You mentioned the Cubs. I've heard you talk the last couple of days about the New England Patriots as a role model. Their pitching staff may not be as good as yours. Their quarterback is better than yours. But explain what you see in the Patriots that you think you could apply here.
Well, you see a consistency. You know, we haven't seen any other NFL team be good every year. They don't win it every year, but they are there.
They're there.
Every year they're knocking on the door and everybody's talking about them. But I could almost guarantee, I've not been to their practice or anything else. I've met Mr. Belichick, but I guarantee you the work is straightforward, starting over. Let's go again. We got to do this right, this right. This, all the details, the preparation work. You don't just show up and play in the big leagues and have success because everybody's got your talent. Every team, you can look at every team out there. They've got good young players. They've got good young pitchers. They've got different things going on. But the difference can be for us is that our guys learn to prepare, learn to be ready. How do we play everyday type baseball where we don't get worrying about extra stuff or this going on? We have to be ready for every pitcher we play. That's tough. That doesn't sound tough.
Right.
It's really hard to get ready to play 162 times.
Part of that preparation, we've got a new hitting coach coming in this season who you know better than anybody. Tell us about Mike Paliarulo and what you see he can bring to this ball club.
Pags is a preparation guy. He's a guy that knows the video, how do we use it. He's a worker. He's a guy that's going to be patient with guys, but he's going to be there every day. And now, that being said, Pags is one of my best friends when I played. But you can't hire your friends,
right?
You know, in a sense. They got to be able to do the job. And to that point, I interviewed him a couple years ago for the L.A. job. When it was coming up. And I couldn't hire him at that point because it was a different situation. At that point, he hadn't went to AAA and coached. He hadn't been through it. And he didn't know our guys. He didn't know. There was nobody on that staff. It was going to be two new hitting coaches together. And I couldn't have two guys that didn't know any of our players. So it didn't work. You can't hire your friends in this game. You like your staff to get along, and you'd love to have guys that you're comfortable working with, but you got to have a guy that's going to work. And Pags is a guy that comes to it from a lot of different angles. He's very smart. He's prepared. He's patient with guys. He's not going to force anybody to do something that he wants. It's always going to be working within what they do.
Donnie, another guy that you know very well, and we're looking forward to getting to know him this season, is A.J. Ellis. He's highly regarded as one of the best guys in the game. It's quite a compliment when Clayton Kershaw says he's your best friend, right? So what are the Miami Marlins getting in A.J. Ellis?
I think when we sit down at our meetings in the offseason, we sat down and looked at different positions and what did we want from our backup catcher. You know we got JT Realmuto, who's our everyday catcher, and you know, we're not trying to replace JT. We want someone to complement JT. One of the areas for JT we've talked about improvement is the continued preparation, continued learning his pitchers, but also understanding the game plan and what where this guy can go, how to use the information that every team has, but every team doesn't use necessarily. So we've got access to information that AJ has been a studier. He's a guy that's been an overachiever. There's people in L.A. said he will never play in the big leagues. He's a 4A catcher. He's not a guy that you can win with. Well, we found out differently, right, that this guy made a huge difference because he could follow a game plan and teach and learn. Now, we feel like that was one of the main things we wanted from our backup catcher. We also got Tomas Tolis, right? And so if JT would get hurt, I don't think we look and say AJ's going to play 5-6 days a week. You're probably going to look at Tomas Tolis. This guy can really hit, and he's growing as a player. We also have a backup catcher now that's going to would help him, and it's going to help him in spring training start to understand how do you prepare for a game.
Right.
And that's how we feel like he's going to help both guys.
We can sit here and speculate about what the opening day roster is going to look like. For you going into spring training, what are the biggest decisions you think you're going to have to make over the course of those 6 weeks or so in Jupiter?
Not a ton.
Yeah.
Not a ton.
It's probably a pretty good position to be in. Right?
Yeah, you feel like you know where you want to go and what you want to do. Things we'd like to be able to see, we'd like to see JB healthy, swinging the bat good. Obviously, he's a key for us, one of the keys for us, because we feel like he's going to have to play against lefties and righties. And that decision helps us to be able to think about an eight-man staff, eight-man bullpen, right, instead of seven. And be able to do the things that we want to do with our starting pitching, kind of part of the process of the winter was how do we replace Jose? And the answer was we don't.
Unless Clayton Kershaw's walking
through
that
door. Yeah, he's not walking through that door.
Yeah.
And so we really can't. But what we can do is bring in quality guys that we feel like can keep us in the game every day, build a bullpen. Already, our strength was our bullpen last year. And if we could have kept those guys rested and healthy the whole year, I mean, AJ getting hurt us a little bit. Having to move Phelps into the rotation for a little bit hurt us. You know, we weren't able to leave that big kind of three together out there. So we basically have taken what is our strength, added to it, with Ziegler and Tozawa, been able to try to shorten the game a little bit. When we talk about shortening the game, means that we're able to get into that bullpen earlier on nights that we need to. We can pull that starter a little quicker. Sometimes the starters won't like that. That would be part of our discussions in spring training and how we're going to try to get where we need to go. But it's not always worrying about if that guy gets the win or not, or if it's a quality start. We're going to have to do what we have to do to get a win, right? So working backwards, in a sense, trying to strengthen our strength, making the bullpen deeper, more flexible, giving us better options with our starters.
Want to circle back to the catching first base situation. We were chatting with JT Realmuto yesterday, who said he's now the proud owner of a first baseman's glove.
Yeah.
Question for you, John. Do you potentially see JT as a Buster Posey type guy and potentially works out extremely well if he can play first against lefties, can take a few days off of his legs and keep him fresh? How do you see this playing out?
Well, absolutely. We think JT is a great athlete. Yeah. Number one, we see how he runs. He steals bases. He's a really athletic catcher, kind of in the Russell Martin mode of guys that can move, that are really athletic and do some things, right? So we absolutely think that JT can play first base. Now, we don't think – we still know that he's going to have his days off. And they're not just days off your legs or days off your mind, because you're back there calling – you know, you're calling 130, 140 pitches a night every day. You know, you're playing five days a week. That will wear you out, right? Just that mental side wears you out. So he's still going to have his days off. But we do want to have the option, if you're on a four-man bench, being able to move JT in there to play first base one day or be able to switch him into the game but keep him in a game. So you can use your backup catcher to hit, but now you've got to be able to do something with that position at first. We're pretty comfortable that he's going to be able to do that. And it also allows us to say, hey, JB, there's going to be some nasty little lefties out there. We're not going to run into him this year, hopefully, until late in the season. A Chris Sale or something.
Sure.
That you're going to say, hey, this is the day to give JB a day off, and we can play JT and get another righty in the lineup.
A few more minutes with Don Mattingly. You talk about having a four-man bench. That has to change the way you manage a game. What does that do for you?
It definitely changes the way you manage because you're sitting there, in a normal term, you'd say you're playing short that night. But so it changes the decisions that you make sometimes pinch hit-wise earlier in the game. Let's say you're going to take your pitcher out, but the pitcher's coming up. You may have to let him hit, right, because you're not going to burn one of your guys because he's coming up with two outs and nobody on in the fifth. And you're like, we can't burn a hitter here to try to get a rally going. The pitcher's going to have to hit. You're giving up that out, right? And now you're kind of at a normal game again because now you've got your full complement of guys as you get into the game. Now you can pinch hit, hopefully a bigger situation where there's something on the line. Now, if that's a bases loaded and one out, then you use your guy there. You just have to do it. So
two outs, base is empty, though. Let the pitcher hit.
Yeah, exactly. And your probability of scoring is pretty low. Then you're going to have to, like, bite the bullet. Fans are going to groan at me why I'm not hitting. But we know what we have to do to get through that game or give ourselves a better chance to win.
Do you have a pitcher on this? You don't have a Madison Bumgarner. You don't have, sadly, a Jose Fernandez. But somebody who you might use to pinch hit in a spot like that, or maybe to pinch run at some point? Are you adverse to doing that?
Did you watch our games last year?
Well, I'm giving you the chance. I'm giving you the chance. Maybe somebody get a bunt down or pinch run or something to save the body.
We haven't seen Edinson hit. I've actually seen Edinson hit in L.A. a little bit. So, and I haven't seen Dan hit, Straley hit very much.
Maybe I shouldn't ask that question.
But no, it's a good question because it's one of the areas that we want to improve. We really feel like our pitchers have to be better at getting the bunts down. We got better the second half. We started putting an effort into, like, hey, we got to put some importance on your guys hitting so they can handle the bat a little bit. So it's an area in spring training that we are going to push a little bit more for our pitchers to be better conditioned to hit, to be better able to handle the bat, and let them know that it's important. I mean, if they can handle the bat, it's going to help us a lot. Now, we may use them to bunt. We'll figure out which guys are going to be our best bunter that night. We may have to use them to pinch run or something like that. Depending who it is. We will try to use them if we have to. But in general, there's not anybody there that I feel like we're going to just say, hey, we got to pinch hit this guy.
You've got relief coming. Before we let you go there, one last question. Fans might have seen on Twitter the letter that you sent to your team a couple of weeks ago. Peter Gammons got a hold of it, tweeted it out. I retweeted Peter. You're talking about the little things that matter. Can you talk about the genesis of that letter and the message you sent your players before they head out for spring training?
Well, when you're working in the off season, you want to, before they come in, you want to give some type of a message that, you know, kind of get the mindset right walking into spring training. Little things are something I've been talking about every year that I've managed, and a lot of times talking about with different guys, different teams I've played on, and four different managers. The little things are things in that letter. It talked about moving runners from second to third, you know, being a good teammate, being accountable for a mistake that you made, not really putting it on somebody else. All those things, you know, a big key two out walk, maybe something that set up the big hit. Those are little things, right, that you may not notice, but they're so important. And all the teams that win do them. And it's because it's about team and it's about that win.
And that letter was written originally by?
It was written by Jim Leland, which I thought was really cool because it was 29 years ago he wrote this letter to the 1988 Pirates. And I said in the letter, I wish I would have wrote this letter, but I can't truthfully. Jim wrote this letter, but it stands the test of time because it fits our team perfectly. We're a young team on the move, have a chance to compete. And I thought the letter fit us perfectly.
That's the beauty of this game. Things that mattered in 1988 matter every bit as much in 2017.
Yep, a little more social media, a little more stuff going on. But you know what? It gets back to the game is that execution, doing those little things.
Donnie, thank you for the time. We'll see you in Jupiter in a couple of days.
Donnie, thank you. Good to see you.
That's Marlins manager Don Mattingly. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, Giancarlo Stanton and A.J. Ramos coming up. So stay with us from Marlins Fan Fest here at Marlins Park on 940 Wins.
Uncle Luke is on my show every Tuesday, and Luke, your wife owns not one Wingstop, but two.
Yeah, Andy, she just opened up a brand new Wingstop in the heart of Miramar, 9907 Miramar Parkway. And you gotta remember the other one in North Miami Beach at 1452 163rd Street.
Luke, your wife's Wingstops are so great. I love going to them, and people can order online.
Yeah, make sure you have the Wingstop app and place your order.
Plus, there's so many flavors to choose from.
Slater, you gotta try that Louisiana Road.
24 Hour Fitness is your local spin, yoga, TRX, Zumba bar studio, where you can also get in some core cardio stretch lifting, a gym to get in every zone and feel all the burns.
Check us out in person or online and sign up today at 24hourfitness.com. Do more with your 24.
Facilities, classes, and amenities vary. Not all clubs open 24 hours.
Celebrate in style and save during City Furniture's President's Day sale. Going on now. Shop dining sets from $249. Or bedroom sets starting at $549. Save on sectionals as low as $699. And enjoy better sleep on queen mattress sets from $299. Plus, get free shipping and no interest for 24 months. Right now at City Furniture.
Don't miss the Miami Gun Show, February 18th and 19th at Dade County Fairgrounds.
America, it's time for some straight talk. Coffee should taste like coffee. Grown men should not wear skinny jeans. And you are paying way too much for wireless. You just are. With the Straight Talk Wireless Bring Your Own Phone plan, you can keep your phone, your number, and your network for half of what you're paying now with no contracts, no credit checks, no mystery fees. It's crazy, but it's true. Come on. It's time to pick up an activation kit and drop the contract. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? It's time for Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Principal office in Broward County. Non-attorney spokesperson.
I was in a serious car accident, and the insurance company demanded that I accept their settlement. Well, I demanded Thomas and Pearl, the injury attorneys. Thomas and Pearl demanded $55,000 for my accident.
If you're injured in a car accident, demand Thomas and Pearl, the injury attorneys. Demand experience, honesty, results, and a proven track record to get you what you're entitled to. For over 40 years, Thomas and Pearl has demanded results. Results that pay. If another law firm says they don't want your case, demand Thomas and Pearl.
The other law firm said no. Thomas and Pearl said yes. If you're in an accident, demand Thomas and Pearl.
Injured in any type of accident? It's time you demand Thomas and Pearl, the injury attorneys. Call 954-271-0499. That's 954-271-0499. Demand Thomas and Pearl.
Our first weekend without football. I'm pretty sure, though, we're all going to survive. We'll talk about all the local stories, including the Miami Heat and the Marlins. Plus, I may have a
Slater scoop.
Don't miss the Andy Slater Show tomorrow at 2.
WINZ, Miami Fort Lauderdale. WZTU HD2, Miami Beach. 940 Winds, Miami Sports, an iHeart Radio station.
A special edition of the Marlins Hot Stove Show, live from the West Plaza at Marlins Park. It's day two of the Marlins Fan Fest. Come out and join us. We're on the air till 2 o'clock today. A lot of the players and everybody here till 4 o'clock. Alongside Glenn Geffner this afternoon, I'm Kyle Seeloff. And joining us now, Marlins All-Star right fielder Giancarlo Stanton and the closer AJ Ramos. Gentlemen, it's great to see you. Hope the offseason was great. Before we chat baseball.
It's All-Star closer AJ Ramos All-Star, as well, by the
thank
way.
AJ Ramos. Before we chat baseball, favorite place to travel this offseason? You guys love to travel.
Mine was Egypt.
Egypt, yeah. I agree.
Egypt and Jerusalem were the two top. I mean, there's so much history in both places that, I mean, it's hard to think about everything that happened there and how old it is. And it's a sort of religion in Jerusalem, and it's just a amazing feeling out there.
A spontaneous trip, or what was that one planned out?
Jerusalem and Israel were planned out. Egypt was it took some work to get there, but it worked out.
So. Yeah, we almost didn't make it to Egypt.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
for fans who don't know or maybe don't follow you guys on social media in the offseason, this has been it's become an annual tradition. The two of you, former Marlin Ricky Nolasco, traveling the world, going to some very exciting and exotic places. And, AJ, I remember we talked in Washington the final weekend of last season. I asked, where are you guys going? And you told me, but as you just explained sitting down, you improvise a lot over the course of the trip. So take us through, we want to talk some baseball too, but the travels and how it all came about, where you went, and how it all fell into place this offseason.
Well, a lot of times we just we have a couple places that we want to go, and then from there we're like, okay, what's close and what sounds good? And we have some friends in Europe that kind of recommend places for us to go. And even though we have a set flight schedule and everything, it changes. I know there have been times where we wanted to go, we're supposed to go to Belgrade, Serbia, and we switched it to go to Latvia, Riga. So, I mean, it was like literally like the day of.
Last time here, you'd much rather be in Riga than you would in Belgrade.
Well, I mean, it's we'll explore the city, we'll go out, hang out, we'll meet people, and then they'll suggest this. They'll say, oh, hey, well, we're all going here, you know, come with us, come see how we live here, and then we just bounce around and learn something new.
You guys ever get recognized in some very exotic place like that?
I think you got recognized in Spain.
Spain more Spain. Often, yeah.
Yeah. They like baseball over there? Follow the Marlins?
They like baseball. Yeah. They're very enthusiastic over there.
Well,
so.
I think when you're naked on a magazine, it kind of goes everywhere.
So. Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's what helped them get recognized.
All right. They recognize them fully
yeah.
clothed, though.
Yeah,
like,
wait. Take off your shirt.
Maybe
oh,
one
that,
of those pieces.
That,
I don't know. That's the guy from ESPN, the magazine. Exactly. Well, the travels are done. It's time to hit the field up in Jupiter this week. And what has really struck both Kyle and me in talking to people over the course of the last couple of days is the way this group has come together. And we keep hearing the word family over and over. It almost becomes a cliche in sports, but it feels different with this group of guys. Certainly the way last season ended, that had to have a lot to do with this. But you guys have been together for a while now. You travel the world together. You've been through ups and downs in the baseball field together. It's shocking how tight this group is.
Well, I feel like there's every year there's been some stuff that happens to us or some controversy. There are change of managers in the middle of the season or whatever. So, like, a lot of times when you have the same group of people around like that, you play for each other and you find ways to get through some of these things. Some of these things aren't easy to play through, you know, obviously. So when you have guys like us that have been together for a while, and you begin to mesh and you begin to not worry about the outside distractions, things you can't control. You worry about who's in the locker room and play for those guys individually. And you get closer and actually makes it a better team. So.
Giancarlo, you really, in that last week of the season last year after the tragedy, stepped up as a leader. We saw you vocally on the field, in the clubhouse. It was really something how you were such a key ingredient in bringing this group together through such an awful tragedy. Is that something now as you move into the new year, do you see yourself, your role in that clubhouse maybe any differently than you had before it happened down the stretch last year?
Oh, well, we all picked each other up. You know, that was a terrible, tough time for all of us. So it was good to come together and you know, whoever has something to say, whoever can give a 2 cents, no matter what it was, it helped. So definitely we'll bring that into this year and just have a good focus for what we need to do coming into the year.
Whether you had your say or not, guys, how important is it, of course, the way things ended, that 2021 guys of this 25-man roster are back in that clubhouse together? And not only are you there for each other, but now you got a chance to go win a championship with each other too.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're in the league, you have a chance. Any of the teams have a chance to win the championship, you know. And so we've been getting better consistently. There's guys that aren't so young anymore that have more experience. So we're able to kind of, you know, get better at it and kind of, you know, judge the situations better, the failures, the success, and be able to come out and play the next day. And I'll say something about, you know, his leadership. That's something he does all the time. It's just that particular game, there were so many cameras, and people finally got to see how he is. Just because he's not out there yelling at people or whatever doesn't mean he's not in there leading. You know, he's always been the leader. He's always been stepping up to saying things when needed. It's just everybody got to see that because all eyes were on us. So that was nothing new for any of us. None of us were like, oh, wow, he's speaking. Everybody was like, oh, you know, everybody took to him just like normal. That's how it always is. So
That's a great point. Unless you're in that clubhouse when nobody except those 25 guys is in that clubhouse, yeah. There's a lot we don't know, lot we don't understand.
Right. And that's why we're so close, because, it, like you said, it's all the outside controversies, all the outside nonsense and noise. We're the only ones that know the real, you know, the real inside part of it, the ones that have to go through that, answer the questions about that, and still play. You know, everyone else can just read articles or hear this, and then they can go about their business. We got to do it all. So that's why another reason why we're so close.
Giancarlo, you're still only 27 years old. It's hard to believe because you've been here since 2010. Really, you probably haven't even entered the prime of your career yet. Does it strike you, man, I've been here for a while. You know, you're the senior guy in this team, yeah, in terms of tenure. AJ, you're number two, whether or not you realize that. By one day, you debuted one day ahead of Tom Kohler in 2012.
You get to go tell him that.
September 4th, Kohler, September 5th.
But where's my coffee, Kohler?
Yeah.
You two are the two longest tenured members of this team. Does it strike you, all that you've been through, and now here we are kind of on the verge of hopefully taking that final step?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, so me being the being here the longest and being 27, but still it has been an interesting road, you know, a lot of ups and downs, but this is finally the most secure and locked in that a team that I've been a part of here has been. So that's why it's going to be so exciting.
And that's what's cool about it. Like, you're saying that I'm the second longest. I would have never guessed that, because in our locker room, we don't go off of time. We don't go off of, oh, I've been here longer, so you got to do this. Like, this is a game. We want to help each other play and help each other be the best we can on the field. And when you have, like, pulling status and rank and contracts and this and that, it kind of makes everybody feel uncomfortable. So, of course, there are times where we give younger guys crap or whatever, but that's just part of life.
Well, they're younger guys.
Not even part of the game. It's just part of life. Like, you're always going to pick on your little brother and this and that. So, you know, that's why we're so close, because we don't pull rank on each other. We're like, hey, if you need to be in the training room and I'm in there, I need a massage, and a younger guy's in there, hey, I'll go after you. You know what I mean? It's fine. Because he needs to get ready just as much as I do, you know, and probably even more, because he's younger and he needs the experience.
He's
got to get his routine. He doesn't know his routine yet. I have my routine. I can make adjustments, you know. So,
Giancarlo, paraphrasing here, but I know you've said before in past years, it's time to stop talking and start playing. A question for both of you. Do you see this team is ready to take the next step, talent-wise, maturity-wise, to play deep into October?
Definitely, both. You know, the over the years, it's been all the young team, you know, ready to build into each other and all that. But, you know, we've been through just about anything you can, you know, so on and off the field. So it's time. It really is time to bring it all together and as one. And I think playing together, because none of us, we haven't played with our whole core together for, you know, more than a couple weeks at a time the whole year. So all years, you know, and I'm a big part of that as well as everybody else. But I feel like if we all stick together and be on the field at the same time, that it'll come together for sure.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking about our bullpen and how strong it's going to be. I think we're overlooking our starters as well. I think our starters are going to go out there and give us what we need. We got some guys, you know, Kohler's getting better. We got, Conley, another year experience. You know, we had some young guys. We had some guys, we got Volquez coming in, who can be really, really great. So I think, you know, we put the starting pitching together with the bullpen, I think we're going to be fine.
Let's talk about that bullpen, though. You brought it up. You anchor what could be one of the best bullpens in baseball when you look at it. I mentioned earlier in the show, a lot of times you have your 7-8-9 guys when you have the lead, and you have your 7-8-9 inning guys when you're trailing. You've got six or seven guys in this bullpen who could all pitch the 7th, 8th, 9th inning with a 2-1 lead. That's got to be a pretty good feeling, knowing you're going to get the ball in pretty good shape most nights.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, on paper, this is, you know, a strong, strong bullpen, you know, but we have to go out. I hate talking about what could be and this and that, you know, because that's just all talk. You know, I want to go out there and show what we have and watch the guys work and get better that way. But, you know, when you look at it from that point, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. We have guys that don't only throw hard. We got guys that throw soft and have crazy movement on their ball. We have, you know, we have all kinds of weapons that Mattingly would be able to use. And I think if I was managing, I'd have fun managing this bullpen.
Giancarlo was a hitter late in the game. AJ mentioned all the different looks you see out of this bullpen. That can't be fun for an opponent.
No, you never know what's going to come out, and you can strike it different ways to the same type hitters. You know, sometimes a team will have, you know, one guy that's for the strong righties, and the rest You know, one lefty specialist, one righty specialist. But we come at you in all ways.
Have you seen Brad Ziegler? Have you faced him, Giancarlo?
Yeah.
Obviously a unique perspective that not many see, 60 feet 6 inches away. What's that like?
Yeah. It's unique, man. It's a new arm slot, a new different way the ball's moving. So you definitely have to lock it in. And I don't want to tell you my approach against him. Maybe that'll help other guys. But it's interesting. You gotta lock it in against him.
We've got Giancarlo Stanton. We've got A.J. Ramos. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a little bit more with Giancarlo and A.J. Again, we're live on the West Plaza, Marlins Fan Fest Day 2. Great crowd gathering around. You guys draw a crowd. They're here for Kyle and me,
right?
But a lot more showed up when you two walked out. So quick break, more baseball talk with you up until 2 o'clock. Stay with us on 940 Wins.
A 24-hour fitness membership gets you tons of studio classes for the price of none. That means spin and yoga for $0, TRX, Zumba, bar, and a fitness app to track your success. You're talking some non-serious coin. Don't fork over all your cash and be set up with everything you need to win. The only thing you can't get here is bored. So you won't just get fit, you'll stay fit. But we're working hard to keep that unchanged.
Check us out in person or online and sign up today at 24hourfitness.com. Do more with your 24.
Facilities, classes, and amenities vary. Not all clubs open 24.
Small business owners, here's a thought. Did you know that most mobile data is done over Wi-Fi? That means your mobile advertising strategy needs a rethink. iHeartRadio is the original mobile advertising platform reaching people when they're out spending money. Get mobile and call 844-BUY-RADIO.
Here's former pro football linebacker Ben Lieber.
BiPro is the highest quality whey protein isolate you could buy. There's never any fillers, sugars, or additives, and it's naturally sweetened. It's what you need to build and maintain muscle. Right now, go to BiProUSA.com. That's BiProUSA.com. And when you buy one two-pound jar of BiPro, you get the second jar half off with the promo code IHEART. Plus, you get free shipping. It's BiProUSA.com. Buy one two-pound jar, get the second half off, and free shipping with the promo code IHEART. BiPro, lean, clean protein.
This Memorial Day weekend, attend the only national salute to America's heroes, honor servicemen and women, first responders, and those who've paid the ultimate sacrifice with a spectacular Air and Sea Show, plus music explosion on Miami Beach. Learn more at usasalute.com.
From the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer Weather Center.
Kind of cloudy today with highs of 81. Tonight, lows drop to 65, so grab your sweater. I'm Carolina Calix, and that's your South Florida forecast.
This report is brought to you by TrueCar. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP when you're ready to buy a new or used car. Visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
I'm Rich Eisen, right here, weekdays noon till Slater, 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
Day two of the Marlins Fan Fest, live from Marlins Park. We are on the West Plaza with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Alongside Glenn Geffner, I'm Kyle Seeloff, a special edition of the Marlins Hot Stove Show. And we're joined by a pair of all-stars, A.J. Ramos and Giancarlo Stanton. Speaking of all-stars, the all-star game coming to Marlins Park in 2017. Giancarlo, you've got no choice. You have a title to defend. But, guys, being in an all-star game, how special would that be, will that be, if you guys have an opportunity to play in it?
Huge, huge. For one, playing in the WBC last year and this year coming up, the way the fans embrace you, even though it's not obviously playing for the Marlins, but you're playing for USA and a team in your city. So the fan reaction will be unreal, just like in the other stadiums of the home, you know, the home team. And it's just amazing, and it'll be a great honor to do so.
Yeah, I think it'd be really great to play here. Last year was my first one. I was so busy that I didn't have time to enjoy it as much until I got on the line and they announced my name. And I was like, wow! Like I've watched this my whole life, and now I'm here. And you know, I've always pictured myself there even when I was younger, but I didn't. I guess I didn't take into account how hard it was to get there, you know, when I was so young. And so when I got there, it was just an amazing feeling, and it was I had tried to embrace it as much as possible and enjoy it as much as possible. And when there was a flyover with the Jets, and I was like, my God, I get chills thinking about it now. Like I made it here, and that was one of my goals for
how
a long
nervous
time.
Nervous were you?
I was pretty nervous. So actually, Jose was pitching, and they said, all right, if he doesn't get this guy out, you're going to go in and pitch. So I was like, well, I mean, I'm pulling for Jose, but, you know, I kind of want to pitch, too, because I knew that if I didn't – they don't want to warm you up and then sit you back down and warm you up again. So I knew if I didn't go in, I was going to have to pitch extra innings if needed. So the first pitch I threw in the bullpen, I threw it like 26 feet, and it bounced. And it bounced in the strike zone, but, you know, it was – I didn't get to do my whole routine, but nerves played. It was a big factor, but I think if I went out there, it would have been a good time. But, hey, another reason to try to make it again this year.
How did you get the news you'd been selected for your first All-Star team?
I think it was on Twitter. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Loria came in, and he came in and told us we were in New York, and he said, all right, you guys got to go to the office. And so
That's a good feeling.
I kind of had a feeling a little bit, and so I went in there, and he kind of did it, hey, guys, I got some bad news for you. You guys aren't going to have any days off because you guys are going to the All-Star game. And even though I kind of knew what he was going to say, it still, when he said it, it was like a big sigh of relief, and it was like, wow, like, you know, those same feelings. Like, I made it to the All-Star game, and it was – first thing I did was call my parents because that's – I mean, they've – you know, been awesome, and they've pushed me so much, and it's amazing.
You talk about your mom a lot, and when you have some of those tense ninth innings, mom sweats it out with you pretty good. Is mom ready for the start of the season?
Mom is always ready. Okay. She doesn't stop watching sports. She says she lives for those moments. She lives for those pressure moments. My dad said I had to buy him a new recliner because he's sitting clinching so much on the seat. So.
Mama's ready as long as she cooks us some Mexican food.
Oh, yeah. She came and cooked some chicken enchiladas for us, I can't stop. I don't want to talk about it right now because I'll get hungry.
That's awesome. Giancarlo, offensively, listen, we talk about the core, how great this core is. Every one of you eight has done big things in the big leagues already. You mentioned it's been a tough chore to get all eight on the field simultaneously. As good as this core is, this team was 27th in runs scored in baseball last year. It's hard to put some of the numbers together and make them make sense. What does this team need to do beyond staying healthy to be as good offensively as we all think it ought to be?
I'd say be in the situations, get a guy over when, not trying to get a double when you just need to get a guy over, be more in the baseball smart of, hey, Ellie.
Hey, Ellie.
Our next guest has arrived. You guys are about to be... pulled from the game, sent to the showers here.
Yeah. So like this guy, Yelly, just he doesn't give in when he's hitting. It's always his approach. The pitchers get super frustrated when they try to, maneuver, mix and match, and he just sits there and just waits for his pitch.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't want to face Yelly. Yeah. He's an annoying at bat.
As Don Mattingly told us, he can't play ping pong because he said all he can do is hit. That's your only talent.
He can't do much. Yeah,
he can barely walk.
I don't know what he would do if he couldn't play baseball.
And when people bet against him, he makes them pay up, huh?
Yeah, he does.
Good stuff. Yeah. Giancarlo, AJ, thank you for the time. Let's have a healthy and successful 2017 season. We'll see you up in Jupiter.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.
Good. Thank you.
Giancarlo Stanton and AJ Ramos, the closer, is about to be relieved by Christian Yelich. We'll take a break. Back with more. Day two of FanFest here at Marlins Park. Stay with us on 940 Wins.
There's certain things people go cheap on I don't get. All the head coaching vacancies in the NFL. Each NFL team receives $226.4 million a year. And yet the highest paid coach in the league is Belichick at $10 million, and he has two jobs.
The Herd. Weekdays at 4. 940 Wins. Miami Sports.
America, it's time for some straight talk. Coffee should taste like coffee. Grown men should not wear skinny jeans, and you are paying way too much for wireless. You just are. With the Straight Talk Wireless Bring Your Own Phone plan, you can keep your phone, your number, and your network for half of what you're paying now with no contracts, no credit checks, no mystery fees. It's crazy, but it's true. Come on. It's time to pick up an activation kit and drop the contract. It's time to ask yourself, why haven't I switched? It's time for Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
$20,000 guaranteed in the prize pool for the Andy Slater See You Later Poker Tournament. It's happening this month on a special date, Wednesday, February 15th, the day after Valentine's. It all takes place at Seminole Casino, Coconut Creek. $94 buys you in, and if you knock me out, you get an extra $200. Don't miss it on a special night, Wednesday, February 15th. Cards in the air at 6, and you can register until 9. It's the Andy Slater See You Later Poker Tournament at Seminole Casino, Coconut Creek.
The Home Depot has a new idea. Free carpet installation that means free carpet installation. Moving furniture out of the way? Free. Ripping out the old carpet? No charge. Hauling it away? On the house. Because the Home Depot has no hidden fees. Just free carpet installation on purchases of $699 or more. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid on carpet price $1 or more per square foot. Unique specialty items and requirements may be priced separately. Not valid in all markets. Offer ends April 5th.
Colonel Sanders here with a doozy of a joke. So, a king, a clown, and a redhead walk into a restaurant. What do they order? Duh. Their favorite KFC $5 Phillips, of course, because they're hungry. Get it? And because only the Colonel offers five delicious hand-prepared meals for just $5, like the two-piece chicken KFC $5 Phillip or the tenders KFC $5 Phillip. You know, besides fried chicken, comedy has always been my true passion. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Tax extra.
It's the Jeep Celebration event at Hollywood Chrysler Jeep, where the deals are smoking hot and you get the best selection. Right now, sign and drive a Jeep Cherokee Latitude for just $199 a month. Hollywood Chrysler Jeep on 441 and Sheridan Street, where the customer always wins.
Check out iHeartRadio on the My24 app from 24 Hour Fitness. Download My24 from the App Store or Google Play today.
Never miss a game. I'm Giancarlo Stanton, and we play them all on 940 Wins Miami Sports.
Here at Marlins Park, Glenn Geffner and Kyle Seeloff taking you up until 2 o'clock on day two of Marlins Fan Fest. It's been great. We've been joined by Martin Prado, by Don Mattingly, by Giancarlo Stanton, by A.J. Ramos. And now as we wrap our broadcast up, we're joined by new Marlins. Well, he's not a new Marlin, but he's the new Marlins center fielder, I guess you could say.
Right.
Christian Yelich making the move from left field to center field here in 2017. Yeah, we've talked to a lot of players over the course of the last couple of days, and everybody seems very geared up, very ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the feeling everybody gets this time of the year around spring training and Fan Fest, all that. Everybody's excited for the new season, ready to go. Everybody starts off with a chance, and that's all you can ask for.
How important is it to be back with your teammates this time around this spring?
Yeah. It's nice to be back with the guys. Obviously, we left last year on a bad note, kind of, and it ended fast, and we all kind of scattered across the country or different countries, and it's nice to be back, regroup. Everybody kind of went through the similar thing in the off season and that last week of the season, so it's nice to be back with everybody, and we're getting it going again.
Was this off season different in the amount of time you guys stayed connected, the texts, the phone calls, maybe getting together face to face? Was there more of that this off season than in past years?
Yeah, I think so. It's a pretty tight team anyway. Like before all that happened, we were still pretty close, but we had like a group text where like the whole team, everybody was on it, and we talked a bunch this off season. And I know I talked to more guys on the phone than I usually do, instead of just texting, actual phone calls or FaceTime and stuff like that. And it's just nice because we all went through a similar experience that not a lot of people can understand or relate to, and we're all answering the same questions and having to deal with the same thing. So being able to talk to guys about that and going through it together with them is different than going back home and your family's there for you, but they don't really understand what that week was about, or your friends they think they know, but nobody really knows like what that was like, except for the guys who went through it together.
You've always been healthy for the most part, Yelly. Yeah. How are you feeling headed into the spring? And I ask because you're going to represent the United States in the World Baseball Classic. How has your preparation changed headed into that? Did it start a little bit earlier?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get ready for that. We'll see. I usually suck in spring training, so I'm a little nervous about that because it's right in the middle of it. But it's going to be my first time playing for a Team USA, so I'm really excited. I never made it in high school. I got cut from Team USA in high school, and I didn't go to college, so I didn't have a chance to do it collegiately. And I'm really excited for the opportunity and get a little field trip out of spring training, go do it with Stanton and AJ Ellis and guys across the league that you've been playing against, or I grew up playing with Arenado. Yeah. He'll be on the team, so it's exciting, and you know, I'm ready to open it up here in Marlins Park.
How'd you get the news?
They called me pretty early in the offseason. I think it was the first week of October, second week of October. I got a call asking if I'd be interested in doing it, and I said yes right away just because I wanted to take advantage of the opportunity. And
is that Joe Torre?
Yeah, Joe Torre gave me a call. And
it's not a bad call to get.
No,
that's
pretty cool. It's pretty cool when Joe Torre you know, texts you and then gives you a call and asks if you want to play for Team USA. And, of course, I said yes. And it's just one of those things where you're trying to take advantage of all the opportunities that baseball provides and the different experiences while you can do it. And I was healthy. I was feeling good. And, you know, I just wanted to do it.
What will that mean to you to put the USA on across your chest?
I'm imagining it's going to be pretty special. You know, it's just one of those things where anytime you get to play for your country, I think you should take advantage of it. And like I said, it'll be my very first time and something that I'm excited to do.
You're a Silver Slugger Award winner now.
Yeah, how about that?
Your Gold Glove from 2014.
Yeah.
21 homers, 98 RBIs last season. Mm-hmm. It was a year in which it seemed as though it all kind of came together for you. What clicked? What was the difference for you in 2016?
Oh, I was working with Frank, Barry, talking to Donnie about some things that I thought I could do or they thought I could do, and it kind of just all came together. Like you said, in the middle of the summer sometime, I kind of was able to feel what they're talking about and understand it a little bit and understand myself as a player going through it for, I think that was my third full season. I don't know. They all kind of run together, but going through the league, learning the pitchers, how they pitch you, attack you, and yourself as a hitter, I think that helped me grow a little bit.
You come into this season feeling differently about yourself than you ever have before, now that you've seen yourself do that over a full season?
No, I don't feel different. I think it's just knowing that it's in there. I mean, I always kind of knew it was in there and it was a possibility. I just didn't know when it would come out or if it would come out. But it was nice to do it, and now you know that it's a possibility and it doesn't seem so far off.
From when you debuted in July of 13 in Colorado and had that terrific night to now, a lot of guys say it. Obviously, we don't know if it's true. Has the game slowed down? Does it slow down?
Well, I mean, it for sure slows down after. Like, your first 2 weeks in the big leagues, it feels like you're playing on a freeway. Like, the game moves so fast. There's so much stuff going on. The game really is a lot faster in the big leagues than it is in the, like, every level in the minor leagues, it gets a little faster. But once you get in the big leagues, like, everything happens really quick, and you better know where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to do. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it takes time to get used to. And I think the more you play and the more repetitions, you know, the more comfortable you feel. And it takes a while for sure, because I was just out there, especially in Colorado, like the huge outfield. That's probably one of the hardest outfields in the baseball to play. And that's your first game. So you can imagine.
Didn't they take a hit away from you in that game?
I got to take a hit.
I was
going to
say, it's so hard hitting the big leagues. You had three hits in your first game. Yeah. You show up at the ballpark the next day. They took a hit away from you.
Yeah, well, they took it like 2.5 weeks later. Like, I got a text being like, hey, you got your. I was like, whatever, I don't care. You know,
scoring change. Yeah. I think they charged an error to the second baseman.
Yeah, I mean, it was, though. Like, I thought it was an error, like, right when it happened, and they gave me a hit, and I was like, oh, I guess it's because of my debut. But
we had all the notes about the first Marlin with three hits in his big league debut since, and then they made it all a moot point. Yeah. But you've had a few more since to make up for that one. But when you're sitting on $29.99 one day, we're going to remember that big league debut.
I better not do that.
July 23rd, 2013 in Colorado.
That would suck, huh?
$29.99, you could have 3,000 already. Yeah. You mentioned Barry Bonds and Frank Menichino last year, Don Mattingly. You've got a new hitting coach, Mike Paliarulo, this year. I know he's already been talking to people. He's been in the cage with some people. Have you begun to develop a little bit of a rapport with Pax?
Yeah, I've worked with him a few times already. He came out and saw me in L.A., actually, and we spent like an afternoon together just talking. And I've been texting with him a little bit throughout the offseason, but it should be fine. I mean, he seems like a great guy and get along. He's really similar to Frank, actually, if you get to talk to him. And, you know, it's nice to have him around.
What do you sense he's going to emphasize?
I think just preparation, being accountable, just helping out any way you can. The season's so long. There's so much that you got to go over and have control over. And it's nice to have, you know, two hitting coaches when you go like that. And Frank's been around for so long that he knows all of us so well that it'll make his transition a little bit smoother to, you know, catch up the speed. You don't have to start from square one and kind of build a relationship. That's why when you get a new hitting coach, it's their first time. It's really hard because they don't know you. You don't know them. There's a language talk. You know, you can you can say certain things to Frank, and he understands what you're talking about, whereas someone else, you kind of got to feel it out and talk to them about their theories, and you got to tell them about yourself, what you do when you suck, what you do when you're going good, and they can kind of watch out for that.
Speaking of hitting, speaking of offense, Glenn mentioned 29.99. It all happens in Colorado. Each Earl gets his 3,000th in Colorado last year. We haven't seen him around much. How important has he been to not this clubhouse, not even this clubhouse in general, but you and your career, and to have a guy like Ichiro?
Yeah, he's great. I mean, I grew up watching him play when he was with the Mariners, always playing the Angels and stuff, so he's on TV a lot in Southern California. And, you know, I think I said it at some point this offseason where I was like, if someone told me that I was going to be, you know, taking the field with Ichiro after he got his 3,000th hit when I was like 10 years old, I would have told him you're crazy.
You ever look over?
And, well, actually, I was playing catch with him after he got his 3,000th hit, and I was super nervous. I was like, don't, like, overthrow him or short hop him, because, like, you know, all these cameras are on him, right? Like, everybody in the whole stadium, all
be an international incident.
Yeah, all like 45,000 people are staring right at him at that time. So it's like, just hit him in the chest, please. Don't short hop it or throw it by him or whatever, and the camera's gonna follow him chasing the ball.
He's an amazing
guy.
So
I was actually really nervous to play catch with him after he got his hit, but it was really cool to experience that and see someone get their 3,000th hit. There's only happened 30 times in baseball, so it's really rare. And to be on the same team and experience all the stuff in the clubhouse after and the plane ride home was really cool, and it's something I'll remember for a long time.
The obligatory question about changing positions on a full-time basis. We've seen you in center field before. You played there in the minors. What's different about playing center field than left field that broadcasters, fans may not understand?
Just the ground you got to cover. And center field, the mound's right there, so you kind of got to pick a side. You can't stand right behind second base and play center field. You got to pick a side, or you won't be able to see the ball off the bat. And that's the hardest thing, is you got to go over all the hitters with Lowe Bundy, our outfield coach, before the game starts, and you got to realize who's pitching for you, what the count is, where this guy usually hits the ball, and that's how you position yourself on the side of the mound. And you got to make sure the left and right fielder are close to you, because you can't cover. There's four: right field line, left center, right center. You can only cover three of them, so you got to pick one to kind of leave open a little bit. And it's your job to, as center fielder, to know everything about all the players and all your pitchers, their out pitches, how hard they throw, and you're supposed to align the outfield. And if you don't, and something happens, it's on you. It's your fault when you go back in the dugout. And that's it. You got more responsibility. The throw is harder from center. And
what about seeing the ball off the bat?
Yeah, it stays truer to center field. The guys backspin it, and there's not as much side spin or top spin as you get in the corners, just because it's coming off at an angle. And usually lefty, it kind of hooks towards the line in right field, or righty, it kind of comes back to you if you're going in the gap. But center, it stays truer, and the reads are actually easier out there because of that, but you just got a lot of ground to cover, and it throws harder.
So the bottom line is, those of us who talk about baseball will worry about this more than you're going to worry about making the move.
Yeah, I mean, you guys got to talk about it. And really the hardest thing is just doing your homework before, and you got a lot more information that you have to retain and be able to remember. And that helps, though, going through the league a few times, because you know the hitters kind of from when you played left field, and you understand their scouting report already, so it's easier to remember. It's not like it's your first time in the league and you don't know any players and you know, their scouting reports.
Hey, offensively, every time you hit a home run the following day, Don Mattingly's always asked about Christian Yelich's power.
That poor guy, right?
And he, it's in the nicest of ways, he often compares himself to you and the way you've developed. How do you think your power has transitioned? Is it something you think about?
No, I mean, I haven't changed my approach at all, really. It just started to happen for me a little bit more. And I think it's just learning yourself as a hitter, learning your swing and what you do when you're successful and when you're not. It takes time to iron that out. You know, that's why they have the minor leagues, but you got to learn at the big league level too. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do that in 2013, 2014 a little bit, get my feet wet, get some experience. And, you know, kind of your goal every year is to get better every single season and make adjustments, make improvements. And I think I've been able to do that.
I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Giancarlo. You look at this offense, and you've got eight guys who individually have all done great things already at the big league level at one time or another, for extended periods or shorter periods. And yet last year there were some injuries, but this team was 27th out of 30 in runs scored. It's almost as though you look at the numbers, they don't add up. What does this team need to do to make that jump offensively?
I think we just need to stay healthy. If you look at our lineup last year, we didn't have it together. I mean, we had it opening day. Maybe we didn't have it for the whole season pretty much. Guys were hurt or other things happened to where we were kind of just piecing it together and trying to make it work. And it's tough to do that. I mean, we had great guys be able to fill in for him, but, you know, you're used to hitting in certain areas or with certain guys on and stuff. And it just didn't work for us. It didn't click. We had a lot of guys with good averages last year. We just couldn't push runs across. And if you can't do that, I mean, it doesn't do you any good to get on base if you're not scoring. So we need to do a better job of putting runs on the board, obviously, and trying to help our pitchers out a little bit.
Kyle mentioned it earlier. It's one thing to lose a player for 10 or 15 days. It's another thing to lose somebody for 2 months or for 80
right.
games.
Yeah.
You can't overcome
that. That's kind of when we started struggling when, you know, kind of Bohr went down. It's not his fault, but he's a big part of our lineup, and it makes us that much deeper, and it's harder for pitchers to kind of navigate that. You can pitch around some guys and realize guys who can hurt you, guys not so much. And when he went down, it was just tougher on us, and then Mikey got hurt a little bit, and guys were just getting kind of banged up. Ozo went down for a little while, and it was just real hard for us. And, you know, it happens to all the teams, though. It's going to happen again this year. Guys are going to get hurt and miss some time. It's just a fact of the 162-game season. It's hard to play for that long and not sustain some injuries, and the good teams can overcome it, and that's going to be our goal.
Yourself, JT, Ozuna, a bunch of you have come up together. How fun is it to grow and to come up together and play in an organization?
I mean, the three of us have known each other since we were 18 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known JT since our second day in pro ball in Jupiter when we were playing rookie ball together. And me and him have been roommates throughout the minor leagues. And Ozuna, I've played with him in the same outfield since 2010. And it's nice to see the guys come up and play together and have success at the major league level.
I remember going up to Jupiter. It was the night Jose made his Hammerheads debut.
Yeah.
And you might have hit a grand slam and JT hit two home runs or vice versa, something like that.
Yeah.
I remember watching that team and thinking, it's not going to be long.
Yeah, I mean, our team in Jupiter had like a lot of guys who are in the big leagues with us now. Conley was there. Jose was there. JT, myself, Ozuna. We were all playing on it. It was a good team.
I guess
and
it was.
And that was us in Greensboro, too. So we played together in low A, high A.
Won a championship in Greensboro, right?
Yeah.
And then,
we lost. We lost in the championship in High A, and then Double A. We all kind of got. Me and Ozuna got hurt out the gate in spring training, so we missed the first 2 weeks. And then me and him actually drove to Jacksonville together. Played. He was there for like a week and a half. Got called up, and Jose didn't even make it there. He got called up right out of camp, and then myself and Marisnik made our debut later that week. So like our whole Double A team ended up being our big league team at some point that season, and. We all know each other for a really long time.
How's Jake doing? You guys stay in touch?
Oh, yeah. I still talk to Jake all the time and be in touch. The Astros are by us.
Yeah.
He came and we hung out. We went out for my birthday in December. We all went out and did something in Hollywood for a little while.
And, awesome.
He's doing well, man.
This team was in playoff position at the end of July last year, hanging in there August, September. Matthew's still alive into the final days of the season. How important is that as you move into this new year to know what it means to play meaningful games September? How do you get over that hump?
Yeah, I mean, you just realize that every game counts. You know, opening day counts just as much as the end of September when you're in the race. Those games, it always comes down to 2-3 games. And, you know, those ones that you let get away or you should have won but you didn't, they really come back to haunt you. And every pitch matters, every out matters. And, you know, you realize that you got to be accountable for that and realize that, hey, you got to win the game you're supposed to win if you want to be there at the end and in the playoffs.
We talked to Don Mattingly about the letter he sent all you guys.
Yeah.
Did that really register with you?
Yeah, it was just, like you said, like I was saying, it's just about being accountable, and it starts day one of spring training, and everybody has the same goal, and everything you do when you show up to the stadium is geared towards that goal. You know, no self-centered approaches, or it's all about team, and you look at the guys that have success in all kinds of sports, it's all about team. You know, guys who have a team full of individuals, you know, they usually don't play well and they suck. So you don't want to be that. And, you know, we got a good group of guys who are all about winning, and I'm excited to be back here.
I think I asked you this offseason. If I didn't, how important has Don Mattingly been to this ball club, Christian?
Yeah, Donnie's cool. I mean, he keeps the same demeanor whether we've lost 5 in a row or we won 5 in a row. He just realizes it's a long season. He's played. He's had success at the major league level, played for the Yankees. So he knows that it's a long year. There's going to be ups and downs, and he doesn't panic. And you can tell as a player if your manager is panicking or if the front office is panicking or not.
Right.
You can tell. I mean, you can just feel it. You get the vibe. I mean, you're there too. You know, we can see everything. You know, players know a lot of stuff. And the fact that the guy who leads us is always keeping the same demeanor rubs off in the clubhouse, and nobody panics. And we just realize we got to go out there and do our job.
It sounds like in talking to so many of you guys – you all feel like the stars are aligned, the pieces are in place.
Yeah.
It's now just time to go out and do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. They assembled a team for us. Now it's our job to go out there and execute what they want us to execute and what we want to do as a team. And, you know, that starts here in a couple days in spring training, you know, really getting that home and making sure that we're all doing our job and going out there and giving us the best chance we have to win.
Some new pieces in the bullpen and the mm-hmm. starting rotation. Give us a little scouting report on some of these guys the Marlins have brought in. I know you
faced some of these guys.
Yeah, Brett Ziegler.
Yeah,
Jeff
I'm happy I don't have to face Ziegler anymore. That's a tough at bat. It says 84 on the radar gun, but people don't realize like how hard that is to hit when it's coming like off the ground and it's moving like a foot and a half, and you don't see it that much. So it's really tough. And
did you see Tozawa in Boston?
I've never faced him.
I think he might be the only one. You've seen Volquez. You've seen Locke.
Yeah, I've seen Volquez maybe 5-6 times. I've seen Locke a lot.
We've seen the best of Jeff Locke against.
Yeah, he's always pitched really well with them, and I was actually hanging out with him last night talking for a little bit, and he always pitches well at Marlins Park, so hopefully that continues for us, and it's nice to have those guys on board.
Martin said Edinson Volquez, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, he's got really good stuff. Yeah. You know, 95, 96, with
change
sink, up. Good changeup, good slider. And he's got really good stuff, and pitching in a pitcher's ballpark, you know, he should do well, and it's nice to have those guys.
Mike Hill has talked about his championship pedigree. He won a World Series 2 years ago in
Kansas
City. Does that matter to you guys when a guy comes in, he's got a World Series ring, he's been a part of that?
I mean, kind of. Just knowing that they've done it and they know what it's like to be the last team standing. You know, there's not many guys in that clubhouse with a ring, so he's one of them. And he did real well for those guys in Kansas City that year, and you know, hopefully he can do that for us.
Yelly, good stuff. We appreciate the time today.
Yeah.
All
thanks,
the
buddy.
Best
to see you
of the year. We'll see you up
absolutely.
In Jupiter
yeah,
in a couple
we'll
of days.
There.
That's Christian Yelich as we wind it down here on the final day of Fan Fest at Marlins Park. A lot of folks sticking around to see Yelly, and a lot of folks have come out over the course of the last couple of days. Again, your first chance to get single-game tickets for the 2017 season, chance to try out some season tickets if you want to go into the ballpark and see some seats you might like on a mini game plan or a half season plan or a full season plan, get you in line for All-Star festivity tickets this year. You know, Kyle, we haven't talked much about the All-Star game coming to Marlins Park this year. July 9, 10, 11, All-Star week here in Miami. You think about the game, it's so much more than just the game, though, with the home run derby on the Monday night, the night before the game, the celebrity softball game, the futures game here on the Sunday before the All-Star game, July 9th. The Fan Fest, concerts, activities throughout town, community service projects around town. That All-Star game coming to Miami this year is a big deal, too.
I'll tell you what I love to think about, the amount of Marlins that could potentially play in it. Christian Yelich is going to play in an All-Star game.
I think this is the year. I said it late last year. I said, this is my prediction for Yelich. Next year is finally the year he's going to an All-Star game.
Stanton.
And next year is here now.
Ramos, Ozuna. There are some guys. There could be quite a few Marlins here at the All-Star game. It'd
be nice.
It's great for the city. It's great to show off your city and wherever they opt to do the awesome parade, whether it's out on South Beach or if they
the red carpet,
right? The red carpet. It could, you know, it could showcase baseball in America, but in that Cuban past, right? And the area in which we're in here in Marlins Park, and the amount of people that love the game of baseball, and it's going to be an awesome event.
So it's a big year here when you think about it. We're gearing up for spring training. We've got the World Baseball Classic coming to Marlins Park beginning on March 9th. March 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and if necessary, the 13th. Team USA will be here, the Dominican Republic, Canada, and Colombia. That Team USA, we talked to Giancarlo and Christian Yelich, who will both be on it, managed by Jim Leland, who won a World Series here in Miami quite famously in 1997. You got Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, who Yelly mentioned he played youth baseball with. Stanton Yelich, Adam Jones also in the outfield, Buster Posey, Jonathan Lucroy, the Marlins' A.J. Ellis rounding out the catching staff on that team, Andrew McCutchen, Matt Carpenter, Ian Kinsler, Daniel Murphy, Eric Hosmer, Brandon Crawford at shortstop, pitching staff with the likes of Chris Archer, Sonny Gray, Tanner Roark, Jay Happ, Marcus Stroman, bullpen anchored by Andrew Miller. They're going to be playing right here at Marlins Park. Against the Dominican Republic, Canada, and Colombia. And again, tickets are available, single games for the WBC. You can get the strips if you want to see all the Team USA games or all the Dominican games, or maybe you want to see every game Canada or Colombia plays here. You've got that as well, and you got the Marlins bringing in their 25th season in the National League and hopefully getting back to October.
Speaking of the World Baseball Classic, we were chatting about it during one of the breaks. All of the big boys from Major League Baseball are playing, and Team Venezuela, the Dominican Republic, and Cuba. Martin Prado was saying Team USA, they have, what, 400 guys to choose from? And they narrow it down to 25 or 30 of the best players in the world. Team USA going to have a great chance to win it all. I believe I saw
the first time.
Yep, and I believe I saw last night. I was at MLB Network. The odds were out, and they're the favorites to win it. In past years, there was a lot of hesitancy in terms of out of respect to your organization not going there and getting hurt. But I think this might be the biggest star-studded class of them all.
We talked to Jim Leland late last season. He's managing the team, and he said it's different this time around. Guys want to, American players want to play for Team USA. That's been a problem in the past. Team USA ought to be very good. The Dominican Republic ought to be very good. Venezuela ought to be very good. Puerto Rico ought to be very good. You've got 16 teams, 16 nations represented. On those 16 teams, you have 63 players who've been all-stars at one time or another, including 25 who were all-stars just last season. So that World Baseball Classic, it's going to be a terrific event. And, again, first-round games here at Marlins Park, March 9th through the 13th. Other key dates to remember, pitchers and catchers reporting to Jupiter and working out for the first time this Tuesday. Full squad on Friday. First spring training game will be February 25th, 2 weeks from yesterday. The first of our 15 radio broadcasts, 25 including the Internet, coming up 2 weeks from today, February 26th. For the Marlins, opening day will be Monday, April 3rd in Washington. Six-game trip to D.C. and New York to begin the year. Opening night here at Marlins Park. And again, those tickets are available now for the first time on a single game basis. It'll be a 7-10 game on Tuesday, April 11th. The Braves in for two, the Mets in for four on that first homestand, and baseball is back.
The fish on the road to start the season for the first time in quite some time, I think since 2013 or 14, which means we'll finish at home, which is always awesome.
And we go to D.C. and New York, so the teams most expect to finish first and second in the division right out of the gate. And then you get Atlanta at home, you get the Mets again for four. A West Coast trip to Seattle and San Diego in April. It's a very interesting schedule when you look at it, and it ought to be a fun year as we wrap up here at FanFest. Kyle, any final thoughts?
I'm looking forward to it. Baseball's back. You know, it's great to see the guys, and I'll tell you, given the way things ended last year and to see the guys coming back in this year, they've been in such good spirits. They're ready to go. They genuinely, you can tell they're happy to be back together, which is awesome to see.
We want to thank all of our guests today. Martin Prado led off. We had Don Mattingly. We had Giancarlo Stanton. We had A.J. Ramos. And we rounded out our 2 hours with Christian Yelich. Some great insight from all of them. And looking forward to a big, big year for these Marlins, hopefully, in 2017. This is the 25th, not the 25th anniversary season. That's next year, but the 25th National League season for this franchise. It's been too long. You got to go back to 2003, the last World Series championship, last trip to the postseason. Marlins haven't had a winning season since 2009, hoping both those streaks end here in 2017.
They got a chance. They got the pieces to do it.
The pieces are here. The stars, as we said to Yelly, seem to be aligned. Now you got to go out and make it happen. I want to thank Roy Perez, who engineered for us back in the studio this afternoon. For Kyle Seeloff, this is Glenn Geffner saying we'll next talk to you tomorrow. We've got a broadcast from the golf tournament, noon to 12 tomorrow as we celebrate the Jack McKeon Celebrity Golf Classic out in Key Biscayne. So we'll talk to you with more Marlins guests tomorrow morning, 10 to 12, on your home for Marlins Baseball, 940 Wins.